From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download, your audio culture atlas. Subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's meet one of our guests of honor.
Let's. And joining us now for a conversational feast is Cristela Alonzo. She grew up in South Texas, got her start performing stand-up in Dallas. Then she struggled for years in the L.A. comedy scene before becoming the first Latina to write and star in her own TV show. It was called Cristela, and it aired on ABC. Her new comedy special launches this Tuesday on Netflix. It's called Lower Classy. And Cristela, welcome.
Don't you love that name? I love that name.
I do.
I do like it. Did the name come before the special or after you finished the special?
You know, it came years ago. I had an idea for something, and I wanted to call it Lower Classy, and it never took off. Then when I finished taping it, the special, I thought,
at last.
This is what I was waiting for.
It's happened.
I made this T-shirt with the marker. I can wear it now.
Finally! Justice!
So your comedy, it is often autobiographical, and the title
yes.
refers to your background.
Yes.
In the special, just to get an idea of your background, you describe your fourth grade fantasy about the boy band New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
You want to describe that for those who haven't seen this yet?
It was my daydream, because I was in fourth grade. I was going to be the maid on their tour bus.
The maid.
And I was going to clean the bus so good that they were going to fall in love with me.
As it happens.
All the time. I was writing Maid in Manhattan years before it even existed. But it's funny. The actual reason that I thought like that was because all the women in my neighborhood, that's what they did for a living. A lot of them worked at restaurants or they cleaned houses. I didn't understand till I was older. I'm like, you can do more than that.
When was the moment you realized that you could do
something? You know, my brother used to take me to the public library and drop me off. The entire day I would stay there and just read. I grew up in a border town in South Texas. And we were, you know, we were very isolated from everything. So it wasn't until I actually went to the library and read that it really kind of hit me that I could do other things.
So in the special, you mention your TV show was about your particular experience.
Yes.
That it's not meant to address everything for all Latinos. But especially given the background you just told us about, there must be this kind of duality. This is an incredible opportunity to have such a show, but also just the weight of people's expectations to speak to all of them.
Well, yeah, you know, it's weird because, I mean, the word Latino covers so many countries, which people forget. You know, it's not like it's just like Latinolandia or something like that. There's so many. And for me personally, I only grew up with Mexicans. And even then, a specific demographic, like a specific regional Mexican culture.
Sure.
So it was a double-edged sword. I got the show and everybody's like, finally a Latina, like a Latino family, blah, blah, blah. And the moment they would see it, there were some people that if it didn't resonate with their own personal life, they were like, oh, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Who lives like this, you know?
She's a liar. Maybe she's not Latino.
Exactly. And I would always say, well, you don't see shows like Roseanne and think that every white mom is like that.
No, sure.
Yeah.
I also wanted to show something very cultural for me, where I was the youngest one in my family, and I was the one in the family that always had to sacrifice her own life to help out the family, because I was the actor, I was the writer, and that wasn't a real job. And every time they would come back, they would be like, oh, God, you failed. No, I didn't fail. You guys sent me back.
Like, yeah, you asked me to come back because I didn't have to punch a clock every day at 9 a.m.
Absolutely. I know a lot of Latinas that grew up like that. I was like a mom. I was helping my sister raise her kids. I was a mom that didn't give birth to these kids, you know? And it's like, that's why when people ask me now, they're like, what are you having kids? I'm like, I've done that.
I've already done that.
Like, I bought this Nintendo for me. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it sounds like you weren't only kind of maybe raising your sister's children. I mean, in a way, you talk in the special about raising your mother to a certain extent, or at least kind of teaching her what it means to be an American, because she's an immigrant and your first generation.
Well, you know, I mean, we all do that, though, don't we? Like, isn't there a point, like, especially with technology, we get all this technology and then our parents are like, what is Facebook? And then you start talking to them like they talked to you when they were teaching you basics like numbers and words and stuff.
Yeah, like, this is a VCR, Mom.
Exactly.
That's true, but I didn't have to teach my mom about the Girl Scouts and I didn't have to, like, make her unafraid of them. Can you tell us that?
This was actually a true story. My mom, she was trying to become a resident alien. That's what they call it. And it took a long time. And for a time, she was undocumented, waiting to become a resident alien. So there was a time when she was very scared of getting deported. And because we live in a border town, the border patrol agents were everywhere. And my mom had never heard of the Girl Scouts. She had never seen them. And the moment she saw one, like, she got so scared because she saw the green uniforms and she thought they were like Border Patrol agents in like training. And, you know, and, like,
Border
like,
Patrol
and she
youth.
Freaked out. Yeah, yeah, like a kid unit. Like they had a kid unit. Like Border Patrol had a kid unit that they were trying to create. It's kind of hilarious in a way, but also really interesting that people, you know, like she associated the color, and I never thought of it that way.
Maybe this is a good time to get into this question. This, as we mentioned, the show is mostly autobiographical, but you launched the show right off the bat with a string of political jokes.
Yes.
Many of them aimed at Donald Trump and his proposed wall along the Mexican border.
Yes.
You taped this before the election.
Yes.
Now that that wall could be a reality, how do you imagine that'll affect your set? Will you stay as autobiographical or?
Or maybe get more political.
You know, I think that because I talk about what my life is about, I will immediately talk about what's the most pressing issue, which right now is political.
So it'll end up being political.
But there is a way to do politics in a way that doesn't isolate everybody. And I think actually by being autobiographical, that's how you actually get to educate people the best. Mm. Because there is no point in name-calling people that don't agree with you, but it's actually hard for them to negate your experience on what you've lived if you're being honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like right now we're talking about like Obamacare, the ACA, you know, like, you know, which is the same thing, people. And, you know, it's everybody brings out their own personal stories. And they humanize why they shouldn't repeal it, why they want to repeal it. You know what I mean? Like, when you're honest about your life, that's when you kind of get people to get on your side, even though they might not initially agree with you. Mm. So I kind of go with that.